Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about hiring the right team members. And I almost laughed before I did my little intro because now my husband Kyle always teases me. Anytime he sees me, he's like, hey, you beautiful people. Like, I'm like, that's my signature. I can't start a podcast without it now. But that's a little peek into what our relationship is like. We're constantly teasing each other back and forth and calling each other out on things. But today I want to talk about why my favorite hire is over 50. And to some of you, you're like, yeah, girl, me too. And to some of you, you're like, what? I would never hire somebody over 50. And I think it's a fascinating concept because I once was in your shoes too. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm a pediatric prenatal practice. I'm hiring like younger, super cool vibe, holistic. You know, I had this image of somebody that I needed to hire. And one of my favorite absolute ride or die employees is over 50. And when I originally interviewed her, first of all, she scared the shit out of me because she interviewed me during the whole process. And I think that that is a good thing to keep in mind that like if somebody comes in and they have super low energy and they are, you know, not asking you questions as they're being interviewed themselves, they're probably not the right fit, right? Because I like to see how their energy is. How do they come in? Are they bubbly? Are they excited for the position? Do they have more in-depth questions? Have they looked us up? Have they checked us out? And Faith had done all of that. And she came in and she started asking me questions. And I remember like sweating and my heart palpitating. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Because she was so unlike anybody I had ever hired before and unlike anybody I had really ever interviewed before. Now, at the recording of this podcast, Faith has been with me for 5 years, which is amazing because the office has doubled since she's been a part of the practice. And, you know, in our mastermind, I even shared like the right employee will completely change the game for you, your practice, your vision, your mission. And it's so important to keep that in mind. But when I had interviewed Faith, I remember asking her specifically, like one of my favorite questions to ask is, tell me about a stressful time that you've had in a work environment and how you handled it. And she had already worked in a chiropractic office prior to my office. She had worked in a couple, so that was already bonus points, right? But she told me about an encounter with a patient where the patient was super rude and inappropriate to one of the team members. He was getting like laser or something in the office she worked in. And the patient wanted to reschedule, but like really he had crossed the line. They were discharging him as a patient. And the doctor, clinic owner didn't want to have the conversation. So Faith had to have the conversation. And I just remember being like, holy shit, does that mean I get to delegate conversations that I don't want to have to Faith? Because if that's the case, sign me up. Because it's amazing when you could just kind of take off that hat of somebody who has to do it all, right? I was a solo practitioner at that point. And it's like, oh, sorry, you're going to have to talk to Faith about that at the front desk. You know, even to some of the other girls on my team now, I'll be like, you guys know Faith is the boss. Like, I'm not really the boss. It's her fault that we can't close this day. Obviously, I'm joking. I still make all the decisions, but it's nice to have somebody on your team that can kind of have that authoritative approach as well. And I was even taking notes for this podcast, and a quote I hear often is, nobody's going to care about my business the way that I care about it. And I think that's such a limiting belief because Faith would definitely go to bat for my office. She shows up every day. I can always count on her no matter what. And she doesn't want the financial responsibility or the financial stress or all of the complexities of running a business, but she absolutely cares about the business as much as I do. You know, she keeps an eye on things. She has her hand in everything just like I would. And so I think you can find the right candidate that will care about it the way that you do. And also I would honestly say the same thing about my clinic director. She's been there almost 4 years and she absolutely cares about the heart of our business, how it's doing, our patients and all of that as well. But I think that we can get into a negative headspace when we start to hire and think, oh my God, there's nobody good out there. I just went through this process myself when I was looking for another CA. I still haven't found one yet. But it's super easy to be like, wow, there's nobody good out there. But I think that what I'm realizing is that I haven't spent enough time sitting down in truly calculating the next person and manifesting the next person that I want to join our team. And I've done this for other people. I think I even shared this on the Manifesting podcast a couple episodes ago that like I've written down direct characteristics that I want of a team member before, and I've been able to manifest them. And so I just haven't made the time to do it now, but I'm going to start to this Q4, really sit down and be like, okay, what attributes do I want them to have? I am going to put that I would love for them to be over 40 at least, if not over 50. And there's so many reasons for that, but primarily the reasons are is one, they're looking for a place that they can really put down roots and kind of see out the rest of their career. I love a ride or die. I love somebody who's loyal. I'm a Scorpio, so I am loyal AF. And I resonate so much better with those people who want to come in, put in effort, and are going to have longevity with the company. And then also, like, they're not distracted by young children. They don't have all of these other commitments, right? Like Jethro is my top priority. So if I need to leave because he needs me, then I need to do that. You know, Kat, who I haven't talked about a lot, my executive assistant, she's amazing. She does so much for me and helps me so much. But, you know, she worked at an office prior to becoming my executive assistant. I actually hired her after being a stay-at-home mom for the last 6 years. But she was like, I don't want to go back to an office job. I know the hours are late. I know that I don't have a ton of flexibility. So she was looking for a position that she had a lot of flexibility in. And so she gets to get off a little bit earlier. If one of her children have a doctor's appointment or trick-or-treating's coming up, you know, there's other things that she could be flexible with because she could go home at night and work on things for me behind the scenes. That's an added bonus of a job with flexibility. However, in our offices, we don't really have that, right? Like for my office, we're open 9:30 to 6:30. So if you can't commit to those hours, you're really not going to be the right fit for our clinic. And so I think it's important when you're hiring those people who are a little bit older, that you realize they do have more to give to your position, which also can warrant a little bit higher of pay too. And recently I've had two separate clients. One, I just onboarded a new client and she was like, oh gosh, I have two CAs, both over 50, favorite hires I've ever had. And I was like laughing because I'm like, you have no idea. I just recorded a podcast this week talking about how my favorite hire is over 50. So totally with you, girl, totally aligned. And then another client that I've worked with for a couple of years, she's kind of went through the ringer recently. Recently, trying to find a good office manager, a good CA. And she called me after she interviewed and she was like, oh my gosh, this would definitely be the oldest person I've ever hired. And I just have a little limiting beliefs about that. And I was like, you absolutely have to do it. She's going to change the game. She's going to change her practice, especially if she's good at organization and like multitasking. It's perfect for a prenatal, busy family practice. And she's been with her now for a few weeks. And she's like, oh my gosh, I should have did this forever ago. Like, why was I wasting my time on 25-year-olds? So if you're listening to this and you're 25 and you're looking for an admin role, I am sorry. I am not going to be your favorite person this episode. That's for certain. But I think for a lot of us who are really, really, really desiring somebody to come into our practices and take shit off of our plate, especially if we're doing a ton of stuff, you need to be a little bit more open-minded to hiring that person that's just a little bit older, a little bit more seasoned. And also, guys, their work ethic is literally unmatched. Like Faith would work 7 days a week if she had to. She would be burnt out, sure, and I would never ask her to do that. But like, she's never upset if I need her to go an extra mile because she believes in the mission. She believes in what we're doing. She also doesn't have a lot of outside commitments where she has that flexibility that she could help me out if I needed it. And I think that that's important if you're looking to delegate some of your roles to one of your team members. And then on the flip side, what I find for people who are having a hard time finding anybody to join their team, you know, if they're like, hey, I just keep going through admin assistants or I can't find an office manager, it's probably that you don't actually want to delegate things. And I know that's going to be a little hard to hear, but I often find that there's practitioners who are really great at micromanaging and wanting to have their hand in everything. And I totally understand and I totally resonate with that because it took me a long time to delegate my social media at the office, right? I was like, no, it has to sound perfect. It has to look perfect. That's a reflection of us and our brand. And I still believe that, but I also now have the viewpoint of if they can get social media 80% like I would, then I'm okay with that because it's one less thing that I don't have to work on, right? So some favorite questions that I like, I have always done a in-person interview and then a working interview. And I got away from the working interview during COVID. And so I really didn't ever have that be a part of it. But now since we've kind of went through a few months of trying to find the right fit and hiring a couple people and them not being the best fit, now I'm like, screw that. I'm back to a working interview as well. And I'm also adding on a phone interview just because it seems like that's what a lot of offices are doing. And I like to hear how they speak on the phone when I used to never do that before. I used to never listen to them over the phone, but just recently, two women on the same day, and it was like night and day and how they carried the conversation, how they were able to maintain a conversation. One, I was like, okay, you sound like you're 12. There's no way that you would be able to soothe or comfort a mom with a hysterical baby in the background, right? So she wasn't going to be the right fit. And then the older woman sounded amazing, but she no-showed her in-person interview, if you can imagine that. So the phone interview is just a really great option to filter through a lot of resumes really quickly. So anytime I post an ad on Indeed, I know some people ask for videos and things like that. I've never been one to ask for a video because I would never want to discourage that older person who maybe isn't great with social media or videos or doesn't like the way that they look on videos, right? Especially if we're hiring women, like sometimes they just don't feel comfortable on videos. So I've never asked for videos, but I do ask for submit a cover letter with why you'd want to be a part of our office. And you can always tell who's actually went to the website and creeped you, who has creeped your social media, because they'll be like, oh my God, I love everything you stand for. I would love to be a part of this. That's what I'm looking for. I want them to differentiate themselves through the sea of resumes I'm getting. And also you'll be shocked on Indeed how many people don't follow that direction. They're just hitting submit. They're not even reading the job description. They just get notified anytime that there's a new posting that they could qualify for. So I want to disqualify those people. Those aren't my people. And the other thing is, before they come in person, I have already looked them up on social media after I speak to them on the phone. And that's not really to determine, do they look the vibe? It's more to see, are they posting crazy things that would just not vibe with our office or our team or our patients? How are they using social media? Like two important things. When I went to hire Faith, if I would have asked her to send a video, she would have been like, yeah, right. Can't do that. Won't do that. Because she was very clear during her interview process. Like, look, I don't do social media and I'm not the most tech savvy, but I can work in EHR like you wouldn't believe. And I was like, cool, girl. That's all I need. I don't need you to do social media, right? And I think sometimes in 2023, we're expecting one employee to be able to do every single task. But the goal is to have multiple people in different roles so they're mastering what it is that they're really good at, right? It's not like one person has to be great at every single thing, but they need to be able to master a few things that would be really helpful for the clinic. And then the other thing is, not only did she tell me she can't do social media, she was also like, I'm not super active on social. And I was like, great. So I knew that I wasn't going to be able to find her there, right? However, for the people that you're going to bring to an in-person interview, you're going to want to make sure that you can creep them a little on social just to see if you think they're going to jive with the clinic. I've never saw somebody on social and then not at least given them an in-person interview. But I do think it's important that you can kind of get a feel for them prior to them coming in, if you can find them, because patients are probably going to go look them up after they meet them. And so that's just something I want to make sure that they're going to be aligned with our clinic. And then, you know, when we're in person, I'll be like, okay, tell me what you know about chiropractic. And often people will be like, oh, I've never been to a chiropractor. And I'm like, that's okay. That's not a disqualifying factor. I love being people's first chiropractor. So I'm happy to get you adjusted once you join the team. But also I want to know, even if they haven't been to a chiropractor, how much effort have they put in looking us up? How much effort have they went to be like, oh, but I saw that you help a ton of mom and children and you help during pregnancy. Great. As long as you're willing to learn a new way of being, then that's amazing. Also, what are your career goals? So often they'll say, oh, yeah, I just want to get a job that I'm happy at. And I'm like, oh, if that's all you're shooting for, I want to see that you have a little bit more ambition and a little bit more hustle than that. And also sometimes people are like, hey, I'm just looking for somewhere to plant my feet for like 12 months while I get experience. Usually they're not that forthcoming on it during an interview, but sometimes they are. And I'm also okay with that because I have my ride or die, which is Faith. So the other position I'm trying to hire for, like if they could come in and add value for 12 to 24 months, I'm okay with that. I know some other people might not be. They might want somebody who's going to stay around for a lot longer. And if you're hiring for that office manager role, you would want them around a lot longer, right? Because that's a lot of effort. You're going to start to delegate. You're going to want them to be able to truly take things off your hands. And then also asking them, like, how do you handle feedback? And what I love about this question is the super self-aware people will be like, oh yeah, sometimes it's really hard for me to take criticism. Great. If I know that, I know that I have to approach our reviews and our check-ins a lot differently than somebody else. And sometimes people are like, oh, you can tell me anything. I don't care. And I'm like, great. I could be super straightforward with you, which is kind of how I roll. I don't really fluff things up a lot of the time. So I know that I can have those open and transparent conversations with that person. And then it's also like, okay, well, what do you think your biggest weaknesses? And people are prepared to tell you about their strengths. They're not prepared to tell you about their weaknesses, which is silly because I think you would know that in today's day and age if you're going on multiple interviews. But it's really funny if they sit there and squirm a little bit because it gets really tense and you're just like, okay, you need to also be able to think on the spot, right? There, we work in a pediatric practice. Like a kid could throw up, something could go crazy. Who knows? It's chaos in our office. Like you have to be able to think on the spot. And so that's kind of what I'm looking for. Not even necessarily what their weakness is, because I think, listen, hey, we all have weaknesses. So of course, I don't expect you. And that's also another red flag. If they tell me they don't really know what their weakness is, I'm like, come on, you're not perfect. Nobody is. So that's kind of like a little thing that I'll note, like, okay, maybe they're not super self-aware. And then, you know, after that, we go through our whole onboarding process. We'll send them an offer letter. And every single employee that I've brought on, I let them know there's room for growth. Because that's true. If it wasn't true for your office, you might not want to say that. But there's always room to grow, especially if the office expands. They could take on more things. There is so much opportunity for them to contribute to our office and truly show their talents and be able to work on things also that they're passionate about outside of the office. One of my things that I talk about a lot in becoming this prosperous leader is like you have to build a job description that you would actually want to work at. And for me, that looks like a healthy work-life balance. So we're not that office that's like open Monday through Saturday and you have to work every shift no matter what. We have three-day weekends every other weekend. And so that's a big perk, right? You want some of that work-life balance. You want to spend time with your family on the weekends. Great. You can do that by working here. It is just going to require that you work a couple late nights. So being open and honest about what their life will look like by being a part of your team, obviously some of the perks. But with that being said, I also wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about creating your own job role. And so often, I actually learned this from a woman, Andrea Crowder. If you don't follow her, she is an online business coach, releases a bunch of different programs. And she has this idea that if you're the CEO of your company, you should go and write a job description of a perfect day as a CEO. What you would be in charge of, how much spaciousness would be in your day, how your meetings would be designed, how many people you would be in charge of, where all of your effort and time would be spent in the business. And often when I get on calls with practitioners and they're like, oh my God, I'm so burnt out, I can't do it. It's usually because they're doing so much and they really aren't good at delegating, or it's because they haven't actually taken enough time off to themselves to be able to regroup, refocus. And they're just sick of actually being in charge of this clinic, right? It doesn't mean that they're sick of practicing or that they're sick of the services that they're providing. It's that they're just sick of having to do it all and not having any room to breathe. So I would encourage you, if right now you're primarily the operator of your clinic, it's like sit down in a quiet place, have a nice cup of coffee or tea, and write out what would it look like to run your business in a super efficient way. If you were just in charge of only the things that you wanted to be in charge of, also, what is the price tag you would put on that? Because I would bet 9 out of 10 times, most of you are underpaying yourself. And if you're doing all the things, you're working your ass off, then you're paying yourself $40,000 a year and you wonder why you're upset. Because that is not any kind of salary that any CEO would agree to take, right? So we need to match the vibration of how a CEO shows up. So a CEO isn't canceling meetings. A CEO isn't going back on their word. A CEO isn't dropping the ball. So if you're also doing that while you're running your clinic, you have to take a little bit of accountability for that. But on the other hand, it's like, okay, a CEO is being paid what they're worth. So do you need to increase your fees? Do you need to charge more? Do you need to see more people? Do you need to have a better marketing plan? Like, what is it? And then design a role that you would actually be happy with showing up to every day. And then on the other side of that, most of the people I work with have just created really, really strong job roles for themselves, even though they're the owner. So what I mean by that is you're really good at operating as a small business owner. You're really good at working 10, 12 hour days. You're really good at never taking any time off. You're really good at showing up and making sure that you give yourself to everybody first and before you even think about giving something to yourself. However, that's what's going to lead you to burnout. And my goal for you as you grow, and obviously this is different for every practitioner. So if you haven't listened to my Roadmap to Seven Figures, part one and two, I would go back to that and listen to that first. But if you're really at that stage where you're looking to transition from operator to CEO or from small business owner to true entrepreneur, there are a lot of things you have to get in line so that you can make that happen and so that you can start to buy back some of your time. But the primary thing you need to focus on first is designing a role that you actually love and enjoy. And if you haven't taken time off, then you need to build in more time off. If you are doing a lot of things that could be easily delegated to a VA or an office admin or a social media manager, then you need to focus on making that a priority too. Because the more you start to transition into that CEO role, the more you're going to have a desire to grow and constantly improve. And if you're not feeling that inspiration or that motivation, that could be a little bit of the problem. So I hope that was helpful for you guys. I'm here to shout out everybody over 50. I love you. I appreciate you. I wish more people had work ethic like you. And I think that you guys make great hires and that all of us should consider adding valuable people to our team like that and paying them what they're worth. Again, that is a, what are you projecting into the universe and what do you want to receive? So if you're not paying yourself what you're worth and you're not treating yourself how you would like to be treated, it's going to be hard to attract those type of employees that are that higher caliber. Right? All right, guys, I'll see you next time. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.